Blog Talk Radio.
You think I wouldn't have him unless I...
Good afternoon, Occupy Wall Street supporters. Today is a mass day of action, nonviolent direct action. Action is happening all over the United States. It's happening in Detroit. It's happening in Los Angeles. If you go to Occupy Together, it will give you all the news and updates of this mass day of action. Occupy Wall Street had a ton of things happening. In fact, it's still happening in New York. You can go to Ustream.tv/the other 99, and they're still showing it live. Also, the Global Revolution, which is livestream.com/globalrevolution, has got a split screen showing the Ustream feed plus their own overhead stream. There's been crowd estimates of between 3,000 and 5,000 people marching all day. I'm talking, and they're still marching. God bless them all. I've still got Ustream going on in the background. I don't know if you can hear it or not. I'm trying to keep it really low. But it's pitch dark there, and there's still thousands and thousands of people in the streets marching from Foley Square back to Zuccotti Park. Like I said, you can watch it live on livestream.com/globalrevolution, where they have a split screen, or you can watch it on ustream.tv/the other 99. That's being run by a guy named Tim, who's been doing it pretty much nonstop for the last 2 days. God bless his soul. That kid's been busting his ass. I don't know. Frankly, I don't know why anybody would be listening to me. They ought to be watching all this live, because there's a lot of cities with a lot of things going on. They're occupying colleges all over the United States. Portland was occupying a bridge this morning. They were having a rally afterwards and occupying some banks. Los Angeles, over 1,000 people took over a street in downtown L.A., and then the activists were going to meet at the Bank of America Plaza and march to the corner of Figueroa and 4th Street. In Boston, they were having marches, in Minneapolis, in Lexington, and there's also international marches today in Spain, in Belgium, and in Germany. So there's plenty of action today, and like I said, it's still going on. On Ustream, you can watch, like I said, you can watch the New York one still going on. That's ustream.tv/the other 99. They also have the Occupy Los Angeles stream there, and that's ustream.tv/channel/OWS Los Angeles. That one's a pretty tame one. I was watching that one for a while, and it was basically people sitting around in a circle listening to people give speeches. But the one with all the action is the one in New York City, where 5,000 people started marching down the street and a handful of cops couldn't do a damn thing about it. They couldn't stop them. They couldn't control them. They started to try to throw up those white cement blocks to stop the people, and that wasn't even stopping them. I really think, you know, that it's a great day for Americans that are tired of the bullshit. One of my favorite sayings is from an old speech from one of my favorite speech makers. He made it on the steps of the Sproul Hall back in December of 1964. And his name, in case nobody knows it, is Mario Savio. And one of the lines he said in that speech was, "When injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty." And for me, that is the phrase of the day. On my blog, leftwingnutjob.net, I have his most famous speech, which was called Bodies Upon Gears. And you can I have a link to where you can listen to his entire speech. If I run out of things to say here, I was actually going to play it for you, because I downloaded it and put it on the site here. But Mario Savio, in case some of you young kids don't know who the hell he is, he was probably one of the greatest orators of the 60s and the 70s. For the University of California. He went to the UC at Berkeley, and they actually named the steps of Sproul Hall after Mario. They're called the Mario Savio steps. And like I said, his best-known speech is called Bodies Upon the Gears. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you part of that, because I really, once you listen to it, you think, Jesus Christ, that's Occupy Wall Street. So I'm going to read part of that to you now. It says, I will ask you to consider if this is a firm, and if the Board of Regents are the Board of Directors, and if President Kerr is in fact the manager, then I will tell you something. The faculty are a bunch of employees, and we're the raw material. But we're a bunch of raw materials that don't mean to be. We don't mean to have any process upon us. We don't mean to be made into any product. Don't mean to an end being brought up by some clients of some university, be they the government, be they the industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone. We're human beings. And that brings me to the second mode of civil disobedience. There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, it makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part any longer. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels and upon the levers and upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free of the machine will be prevented from working at all. And that doesn't mean, and I know it will be interpreted to mean, unfortunately, by the bigots who run the Examiner, for example, that was a newspaper in San Francisco, that doesn't mean that you have to break anything. 1,000 people sitting down someplace, not letting anybody by, not letting anything happen, can stop any machine, including this machine, and it will stop. We're going to do the following. And the greater the number of people, the safer they'll be and the more effective it will be. We're going once again to march up to the second floor of Sproul Hall. And we're going to conduct our lives for a while on the second floor of Sproul Hall. And we'll show movies, for example. We tried to get, and then he names a movie I've never heard of before. It's a French movie. And they shut it off. Unfortunately, that's tied up in the courts because of a lot of squeamish moral mothers for a moral America and other people from the outside, the same people who get all their ideas out of the San Francisco Examiner. Sad, sad, sad. But Mr. Landau has gotten us some other films. So likewise, we'll do something. We'll do something which hasn't occurred at this university in a good long time. We're going to have some real classes up there. There's going to be freedom schools conducted up there. We're going to have classes on the First and the 14th Amendments. We're going to spend our time learning about the things that this university is afraid that we shouldn't know. We're going to learn about freedom up there, and we're going to learn by doing. And if you think about it, a lot of that speech goes down to what is trying to happen down at Occupy Wall Street. And I really, really hope that people will read that post of mine, because at the bottom of it is Keith Olbermann's special comment on Mayor Mikey Bloomberg and what that asshole did against Occupy Wall Street when he intentionally violated a court order and threw everybody out of the park. And what that son of a bitch did was he made this movement stronger. And that's why there are 5,000 people at the minimum marching around New York City right now. And they've been marching there all friggin' day and all night, because it's nighttime there now. So I'm just here to tell you there's a lot going on, and it's happening today, because today is the day of mass resistance, so to speak. On the website Occupy Together, they call it hashtag N17, Mass Nonviolent Direct Action, and it gives you news and updates of everything that's going on everywhere. So that's basically what I'm letting you know. And another good place to get some information is The Nation magazine. Greg Mitchell, one of the writers there, is live blogging. I've been reading his piece and reloading his page all day, but he's live blogging the New York City and getting updates from other places. Like the last one I got here, these are all Eastern times, I believe. It says Occupy Chicago is now mobilizing at Thompson. SEIU, which of course is a union, says that there is a bridge shut down in Detroit. And at 4:04, he says thousands marching in New York from Union Square to Foley Square to be joined by labor there in a massive rally. And like I said, it's on live stream and Ustream. And there were so many thousands of people in the streets that the cops couldn't even control it. And that was like an hour ago when I was watching it, and it was incredible because the cops were just standing there, didn't know what the fuck to do, because these people were just marching down the streets, and they were marching down the middle of the streets, and there was nothing those cops could do. They've also marched in Philly today. SEIU was part of that march, too. They were marching to Market Street Bridge. And, you know, it's, like I said, there's huge crowds all over the place. They're marching in Portland, Oregon. The cops did, of course, get ugly at Peabody Park. There were beatings of protesters there. There's a picture on Greg Mitchell's blog at The Nation of the cops hauling off this one guy who's just bloodied like to hell. You can't believe how bloodied he is. And there's been hundreds of arrests, too, all over the United States. At least 20 arrests in L.A. after their big march. And L.A., if you remember correctly, has been supported by their city council, unlike the Occupy Oakland, which, you know, they've got the brown shirts in Oakland that are listening to the bitch mayor they got there. So if you hear that noise in the background, I'm trying to keep it lower. That's the actual march still going on in New York City. And there, I turned it down. So you guys might, you know, go, what the hell's going on over there, woman? But anyway, that's about all. I don't know what else to say. I was going to read you a great piece today from a friend of mine. His name is Lobo Taro, and his blog is lobotero.com. That's lobotero.com. And the name of his blog post was While We Were Asleep. And it says, the other day, why most of America was sleeping from another of, one of trying to earn from those trying to earn a living, the participants in several cities were attacking the Occupy movements to evict the people that were protesting. We all, at least those of us that were interested, have seen all the videos and photographs of what happened on that early morning raid. But while we were asleep and police were doing the dirty work of the government, another issue was playing out under the radar thanks to the raids. Have I piqued your curiosity? Congress is the culprit I speak of, and here is what they are attempting to do. And he lays out a bunch of bills that Congress has been trying to move through. He's got one that's called We Love the Bailout Bill. It's H.R. 1838. It said it would repeal a section of the Dodd-Frank Act that prohibits the federal government from bailing out big Wall Street derivative dealers. You know, those hedge fund motherfuckers I like to call vulture hedge funds, vultures. What were they thinking? With Merrill Lynch right now attempting to transfer a total of $75 trillion in derivatives bets from its investment arm into Bank of America, because they're going to hell in a fucking handbasket. It's an FDIC-insured parent company. So that's why is the GOP so eager to facilitate the next giant taxpayer bailout? Because they know that Bank of America is going to shit. So that's one bill that you need to keep an eye on. It's bill number H.R. 1838. Then the next one he says is, it's called Dark Markets Are Good for You Bill. And that's bill number H.R. 2586, which would allow big Wall Street derivatives dealers to continue opaque bilateral trading and allow them to avoid price transparency required by the Dodd-Frank bill. Off-book gambling in the derivatives market was a key cause of the 2008 financial crisis, and Dodd-Frank has made huge steps forward, requiring the vast majority of derivatives to be traded in open forums, where everybody could see what is going on in this $600 trillion market. Similarly, H.R. 2779, also by a GOP by the name of Stivers, would exempt all transactions between related affiliates from derivatives regulations, creating less, not more, transparency. Then he gives us H.R. 3045, which he calls the Swap Till You Drop Bill for pension funds. H.R. 3045 would permit swap dealers to get a blanket exemption from any duty to respect the best interests of pension funds when giving any advice on a swap deal. Just last week, we saw the largest number of municipal bankruptcies in the United States history in Jefferson County, Alabama. That's where an actual city went bankrupt. which was caused when J.P. Morgan Chase bribed local officials into entering a swaps deal to refinance a sewage district. And I remember writing about that. They really got hosed bad, that city did. And all they needed to do was just upgrade their sewage system. And J.P. Morgan sent in some of their little guys, and they convinced them to, you know, totally rebuild and refinance their whole sewage district. And it has literally brought the entire city of the entire county of Jefferson County to its knees in Alabama. So far that it's the largest municipal bankruptcy in history. The Go Back to Sleep SEC bill, that's H.R. 2308 by someone named Garrett. It would create a series of new hurdles for the Security and Exchange Commission to jump before the institution can pass a new rule or regulation. The SEC is not my favorite regulator, and their fines on the big Wall Street banks have not been commensurate with the crimes. But compared to the U.S. Department of Justice, SEC regulators have been veritable energizer bunnies extracting billions in concessions. So he goes on to say, as promised, the Republicans are trying to gut the Frank Dodd financial reform bill. And as usual, they are doing the dirty work for those they really work for, Wall Street and the banks. People, it is time. The time has come for us to demand more from our government. And these moves are nowhere in the best interest of your average American. It speaks volumes on who really runs this government. And you and I are allowing it to fucking happen. So that's from my friend Lobotero. And these are the kind of things that we really don't hear about because the press wants to just tell us, you know, what's happening to Lindsay Lohan and, you know, what's happening to, you know, the whole thing at Penn State. Every time I turn on a political show, it's not even about politics anymore. It's about the horrible the 40 charges of sexual offenses brought against a coach at Penn State. You know, but I haven't heard a damn thing about any of those bills I just named off to you. So, you know, that's something that, you know, people got to pay attention to. And I'll have a link to that blog post on my blog when I'm done here today. Like I said, the nation's Greg Mitchell is keeping us up to date on what's going on today on the mass day of action. And his newest one is, at 5:05 p.m., a photo of Anne Hathaway at Foley Square a few minutes ago holding a sign that said, "Blackboards, not villains, not bullets." At 4:50, while chaos in New York continues, almost, and it says see below because he's got the video from the live from the Global Revolution up there, but it says, this almost tops the WikiLeaks, you know, bullshit that you know, there was a truck running around that said WikiLeaks truck on it, and it got busted this morning for no good reason. And, you know, now the guy's sending out pictures and video from his jail cell. And then, like I said, at 4:10, Occupy Chicago is now mobilizing at Thompson, and SEIU says the bridge is shut down in Detroit. If I go to that link to see which bridge it is, it's telling me, come on, my computer's so slow. Bridge actions break out across the country. This is the SEIU blog. It says, we are declaring an economic emergency for the 99%. And it says, we're live blogging throughout the day as these actions take place in dozens of cities, including New York, Los Angeles, Portland, Detroit, Philadelphia, Boston, Chicago, D.C., Minneapolis, Seattle, Milwaukee, Houston, and Miami. In Miami, over 1,000 people gathered under the overpass at Jose Marti Park to stand up against unfair government policies that support the 1%. In Detroit, Michigan, at 4:15 p.m., over 1,000 people have shut down the Second Avenue Bridge over I-94 in Detroit, Michigan. And then I've told you about what's going on in New York City. SEIU is supporting them there, too. In Cleveland, SEIU joins Local 1, who joins Occupy Cleveland in Ohio to express solidarity with Occupy Wall Street movement. And they said there are more photos on Facebook, and they give you a link to that. In Washington, D.C., it says marchers from D.C. and Virginia have just met up in the middle of a bridge, and there is video of the protesters on the Key Bridge, which is a big bridge in Washington, D.C., and they have a link to that picture and video. So they've been busy in D.C. and Virginia as well. And in Richmond, it says over 70 Virginians came out in the cold, pouring rain in Richmond today to declare an economic emergency for the 99%. What you're going to love about that picture is it's three old people, three very old people. They actually look older than me. One is an elderly woman that had the sign that says Workers United. One's an old guy that says Solidarity. And the other is a woman that looks like she's old enough to be my grandmother, who's holding a sign that says, we need jobs now, right now. And if you think about it, that's pretty freaking pathetic if that old woman has to have a job at her age. Residents rallied in front of the Hamilton Street Bridge / the I-95 overpass, which cuts through Eric Cantor's district. Representative Cantor's unemployed constituents called on him to stop obstructing the American Jobs Act by dropping a banner from the bridge declaring, Rep. Cantor, this bridge needs work, and so do we. And then they've got a picture of the big-ass sign that they put over it, that they dropped down over the side of the bridge. Rally-goers adorned the support structure of the bridge with signs that said, Caution, Cantor, Obstruction Zone, Caution, Cuts Approaching, and Caution, Failing Middle Class. More pics from Virginia organizing on Flickr here. Like I said, there was a big rally in L.A. That started at 10:30 this morning. They started coming down one street, and then within less than an hour after it started, the police started arresting protesters. The SEIU blog has a live video from that. There's all kinds of good information on that site, and a lot of pictures. So I will – SEIU, obviously – is one of the good unions that's really, really, you know, trying their best to support Occupy Wall Street and the whole Occupy Together movement. Anybody want to call in and say anything or bitch at me? I'm kind of running out of stuff to say here today. Other than the fact that, like I said, I just keep watching the ustream.tv/the other 99 because it's nighttime there and there's still thousands of people in the streets in New York City. So obviously, when Mikey Bloomberg raided Ducati Park and threw everybody out, all he did really was just piss everybody off so bad that they all said screw it, and he brought out even more people. So you know, God bless his dumbass for doing that. You know, it's really it warms the cockles of my little heart that he's so fucking stupid that, you know, he has no idea that every time he does something like that, you know, he actually makes the movement stronger. I'm going to go ahead and play a piece of Mario Savio's speech now from Sproul Hall, the one Bodies Upon the Gears. It's, like I said, I read it to you, but I'd like you to hear his words on it because there's also a picture that's really heartwarming on my blog on that post, which shows him standing on top of a cop car and thousands of people surrounding him on that as he's talking on the top of that police car. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful picture. And I'm going to go ahead and play his speech now.
You know, I just want to say one brief thing about something the previous speaker said. I didn't want to spend too much time on that because I don't think it's important enough, but one thing is worth considering. He's the nominal head of an organization supposedly representative of the undergraduates, whereas in fact, under the current directives, it derives its authority as delegated power from the administration. It's totally unrepresentative of the graduate students and TAs. But he made the following statement, I quote, I would ask all those who are not definitely committed to the FSM cause to stay away from demonstration. All right, now listen to this. For all upper division students who are interested in alleviating the TA shortage problem, I would encourage you to offer your services to department chairmen and advisors. That has two things, a strike breaker and a fink. I'd like to say, one other thing about a union problem. Upstairs, you may have noticed already on the second floor of Sproul Hall, locals 40 and 127 of the Painters Union are painting the inside of the second floor of Sproul Hall. Now, apparently that action had been planned sometime in the past. I've tried to contact those unions, unfortunately, and tears my heart out, they're as bureaucratized as the administration. It's difficult to get through to anyone in authority there. Very sad. We're still making an attempt. Those people up there have no desire to interfere with what we're doing. I would ask that they be considered and that they not be heckled in any way. And I think that, you know, while there's unfortunately no sense of solidarity at this point between unions and students, there at least need be no, you know, excessively hard feelings between the two groups. Now, there are at least two ways in which sit-ins and civil disobedience and whatever, at least two major ways in which it can occur. One, when a law exists, is promulgated, which is totally unacceptable to people, and they violate it again and again and again till it's rescinded, appealed. All right. But there's another way. Sometime, the form of the law is such as to render impossible its effective violation as a method to have it repealed. Sometimes the grievances of people extend more than just the law, extend to a whole mode of arbitrary power, a whole mode of arbitrary exercise of arbitrary power. And that's what we have here. We have an autocracy which runs this university. It's managed. We were told the following. If President Kerr actually tried to get something more liberal out of the regents in his telephone conversations, why didn't he make some public statement to that effect? And the answer we received from a well-meaning liberal was the following. He said, would you ever imagine the manager of a firm making a statement publicly in opposition to his board of directors? That's the answer. Well, I ask you to consider, if this is a firm, and if the Board of Regents are the Board of Directors, and if President Kerr, in fact, is the manager, then I tell you something, the faculty are a bunch of employees, and we're the raw materials. But we're a bunch of raw materials that don't mean to be have any process upon us, don't mean to be made into any product, don't mean to end up being bought by some clients of the university, be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone. We're human beings. And that brings me to the second mode of civil disobedience. There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all. That doesn't mean, and it will be interpreted to mean, unfortunately, by the bigots who run the examiner, for example. That doesn't mean that you have to break anything. 1,000 people sitting down someplace, not letting anybody by, not letting anything happen, can stop any machine, including this machine, and it will stop. We're going to do the following. And the greater the number of people, the safer they'll be, and the more effective it will be. We're going, once again, to march up to the second floor of Sproul Hall. And we're going to conduct our lives for a while in the second floor of Sproul Hall. We'll show movies, for example. We tried to get Enchantamour. Unfortunately, that's tied up in the courts because of a lot of squeamish moral mothers for a moral America and other people on the outside. The same people who get all their ideas out of the San Francisco Examiner. Sad, sad. But Mr. Landau has gotten us some other films. Likewise, we'll do something which hasn't occurred at this university in a good long time. We're going to have real classes up there. There are going to be freedom schools conducted up there. We're going to have classes on the First and 14th Amendments. We're going to spend our time learning about the things this university is afraid that we know. We're going to learn about freedom up there, and we're going to learn by doing. Now, we've had some good long rallies. Just one moment. We've had some good long rallies, and I think I'm sicker of rallies than anyone else here. It's not going to be long. I'd like to introduce one last person before we enter Sproul Hall. Yeah. And the person is Joan Baez.
And then Joan Baez went on to play for him. The thing you have to remember about Mario's speech is that's in the old days in the 60s when people were upset with the universities. What you do is you take, and instead of using the word university, you use the word Wall Street. And to me, that's if you replace those words and you read his speech and you replace his words, then you're going to get the meaning of his speech and why, to me, it's so important now that we listen to it and we realize that what he was talking about back then, it's just as important, and it matters just as much now as it did the day he said it back in December of, what the hell did I say it was, December of 1964. You know, it's there is no difference. You know, he was mad at the university, how the university was basically becoming a war machine for the Vietnam War and for Nixon's war, or Nixon hadn't been elected yet, right? I don't remember at this point. I'm tired, but we're tired of Wall Street, and so if you replace the university and their bullshit with Wall Street and our current administration, then you're going to get the whole thing of speech and how it, you know, it matters to us now. It matters just as much now as it did when he did it in 1964. And that's the only point I'm trying to make with you guys is, you know, that Mario Savio knew what he was talking about then, and we need more people like him now. We need more people now to, you know, to make their voices heard. And as far as I'm concerned, he was more eloquent and more of an activist than Obama could be or ever will be. The only thing Obama's ever been good at is being an orator. Mario Savio got millions of people, if not hundreds of millions of people, because I was one of them. He got us all active. He got us all out in the streets. He got us to go and occupy the classrooms, you know, and to get arrested and come back the next day and occupy them again, you know. And like he said, we had people teaching us about the First Amendment, about the 14th Amendment, and about the amendments that protected us from the gears, you know, of the industry, of the corporatocracy, as I call it. So, you know, for a good read, you can read his entire speech. And like I said, I have an online blog. It's the name of the article actually is the hell out of Bloomberg. You know, because that's what made me think of it that night when I read, when I listened to Keith Olbermann's special comment. When he bitch-slapped the hell out of Michael Bloomberg for ignoring a court order and clearing out Zuccotti Park. And I thought I had downloaded that comment, but I didn't. So I'm going to try, and I don't know if it's going to work right now, but I'm going to try to play that special comment for you now off of my blog, and hopefully it will come through my headphones for you. If it doesn't, then you guys say something and I'll try to turn it up. So here it is. This is Keith Olbermann talking about the asshole I like to call Mayor Mikey. First, I think there's a commercial. Damn it. Come on, is it going to play? What's the deal here? It says it's going. Where is it? It says this. Come on, play. I probably got too many damn windows open for it to play, is what I'm figuring. Because I've got a ton of windows open. While we're waiting, the AmericanIndependent.com has got a great article up called Watchdog Targets Mayors. Want them to stop harassing the journalists covering Occupy protests. And that's a really good read, too, by John Tomasik. As he states, it's been widely reported that police crackdowns on the Occupy movement in cities across the country have been extended beyond the protesters to include attacks on journalists as a way to stop the reporting of the news and use police action to do so. So far, 10 reporters were arrested in New York when police cleared Jotty Park on Tuesday, including reporters for AP, for the Associated Press, for NPR, and for the Daily News, New York Daily News, according to watchdog organization The Press. The organization announced today that it has launched a campaign targeted at mayors around the country to demand they honor the First Amendment and drop all charges against those journalists, which I guess evidently those assholes haven't. I don't know why this isn't playing either. I'm just trying to kill time here. But anyway, the American Independence article is really good because, you know, when the press does try to go out there, and God knows they don't go out there often, unless it, what's that old-fashioned line, if it bleeds, it leads. When they knew that all hell was going to break loose at Zuccotti Park, they all ran their ass down there, and the cops did everything in power to keep them from writing a story about all the violence that did occur. And the only way you found out about the violence that did occur at Zuccotti Park when Mayor McCheese cleaned it out was from the alternative media guys who were already in the park, and the police assumed that they were just part of the protesters. And last Tuesday, my very show reported on most of those guys and their stories about what actually went down to Zuccotti Park, because you sure as hell didn't hear about it on the Washington Post. You didn't hear about it in the Associated Press. The New York Daily News, the only thing they reported was that their reporters got arrested. You know, there's just different, you know, the whole thing is that once the press does try to go down there and report on something, the police do everything in their power to keep from reporting on it. So anyway, Keith's bitch slap of Mayor McCheese is not going to play for some reason on my computer. I don't know why today. It's just not because I've got 15 windows open from everything I've been reading for a while. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and sign out, so that I can put all these links up to various things on my blog, including the special comment that Keith Olbermann did on Mayor Bloomberg, who I call Mayor McCheese. And I'm going to go ahead and sign out now. We will sign out with, what do we got today? Let's try, well, hell, she took most of my music out of here. We got Ry Cooder's No Banker Left Behind. Oh, goody. We'll go ahead and play that one again. And after that song's over, then the show will be over today. And like I said, the show, I've got to say this, I always do. The show has been brought to you by website Roundtree7, which is the number 7.com. The show is called Here Be Monsters. It is usually run by Gwen Berry, G-W-E-N, Gwen Berry. I believe she is off today doing something with her Occupy Wall Street group down in Florida, so I said I would sit in for her, and that's what I'm doing, so I wasn't really totally prepared like I usually am. We're part of what she calls a drumline of other shows that are reporting daily on Occupy Wall Street or reporting weekly on it. Diane G., who runs the Wild Wild Left, also does a radio show at least once a week. And reports on Occupy Wall Street. She also runs a great website that I write for occasionally that's called The Wild Wild Left. And they don't put up with any weak-ass little lefties there either, boy, because she'll give you shit if she thinks you're one of those people that thinks that we have to vote for Obama or all hell's going to break loose. Because, frankly, I don't see a whole lot of difference between Obama and the GOP at this point. And that's just my personal opinion, because he gives into him way too much. I would like to suggest again that if you want to continue watching what's going on in New York City, God, it's even bigger right now. There's millions, I swear, not millions, but there's just thousands and thousands of people converging on the streets, converging on Zuccotti Park right now. I would suggest going to livestream.com/globalrevolution or the other ustream.tv/the other 99. Both of those sites are showing live what is going down in New York City, and this could be going on all night, folks. So that once you hang up, you know, from listening to my dumbass show, I would highly suggest going on those sites and watching, you know, what's going on, because that's democracy in action. What's going on in D.C. is not democracy. That's bought and paid for by the Koch brothers and all the fucking lobbyists on K Street. The real democracy is what's going on in Detroit and Philly and right now what's going on in New York City and when all with those thousands of people walking towards Zuccotti Park. So y'all have a good evening, and we're going to close with Ry Cooter's No Banker Left Behind. Good night, all.
The bankers all are leaving. You better come round and see. It's starting revelation. They robbed the nation blind. They're all down at the station. No banker left behind. No banker, no banker, no banker could I find. They were all down at the station. No banker left behind. White House they went one day. They was going to call on the president in a quiet and a sociable way. And the afternoon was sunny and the weather it was fine. They counted out our money and no banker was left behind. No banker, no banker, no banker could I find. They were all down at the White House. No banker was left behind. Conductor's calling all aboard, we'll be leaving soon with champagne and shrimp cocktails, and that's not all you find. There's a $1 billion bonus and no banker left behind. No banker, no banker, no banker could I find. When the train pulled out next morning, no banker was left behind. No banker, no banker, no banker could I find. When the train pulled out next morning,
bring up today was Dorley Rainey. She's become the face of Occupy Wall Street now. She's the 84-year-old woman that was pepper sprayed at the Seattle Occupy Wall Street protest. And I have a picture of her on my blog. She's 84 years old, and those son of a bitches pepper sprayed her. I'm just wondering how those cops could sleep well at night knowing what they did to somebody's mother or grandmother. And as far as I'm concerned, they are truly brown shirts. The United Kingdom's The Guardian newspaper also wrote about her, and it said a graphic photo of the former teacher after she was hit with the chemical irritant went viral, becoming one of the most striking images from the protests that have taken place in the cities across the globe. It's a gruesome picture. I'm not really that bad looking, Rainey said in an interview Wednesday with the Associated Press. The photograph shows Rainey wearing a scarf and jacket, being helped by two people. One man is cradling her head in his arms as they walk away from the area. Rainey said she was on a downtown bus when she heard helicopters and thought, oh boy, I'd better go show solidarity with New York. Occupy Seattle protesters had gathered Tuesday evening following police actions in New York City that cleared a Manhattan park of people there. I look at it this way. If an 84-year-old grandmother can get her ass down there to show solidarity with New York City's OWS, why the hell can't the rest of us? Anyhow, that's tonight's show. Y'all have a good day. And tomorrow, I think Gwen is on or somebody that will sit in for her. But the show Here Be Monsters will be on again tomorrow at this time at 5 p.m. Y'all have a good evening.